Blog Talk Radio.
He is jealous for me. Love's like a hurricane. I am a tree bending beneath the weight of his wind and mercy. When all of a sudden I'm unaware of these afflictions eclipsed by glory, then I realize just how beautiful you are and how great your affections are for.
Thing be
speak out of my mouth will come to full fruition according to the power of your spirit. Lord, loose the word in the name of Jesus. Declare the word according to your power, your purpose, and your glory. Even as we sat before your throne, Father God, and begin to utter that what comes from the kingdom. Lord, let the illumination of the power and of the revelatory word come near in the name of Jesus, Father God. And we ask you, Father God, for every one of the listeners, as we see light up the line on tonight, to receive that engrafted word that you have put in the man of God to bring forth to your children. Father God, hide me behind the cross. Let me not any glory for what you're about to do in this service tonight. Lord, we always been declared. It has been decreed and declared. Lord, we speak it according to the Spirit. We speak it according to the power and the purpose of the Holy Ghost. Lord, I ask you right now, Lord, to utter that what you have put in me, Lord, that they may go forth and do all that you declared according to your kingdom. Father God, I'd ask anything not of myself, but I put these prayers into the third heavens to go forth. And I decree according to the plan of God that it will not go back void. Lord, I bind every word of every soothsaying spirit that it will be cleaved. And Lord, it come under the unction of the power of the blood. Lord, I declare the word. I decree it. I speak it according to the spirit. I call it to come forth right now in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. We pray, Lord. Amen. Well, once again, I'm Pastor Charles Ellis here at Harvest New Life Church. Here in the city of Dallas, Texas. I want to thank you for joining us here on Paul of the Harvest radio broadcast, which takes place every Thursday here at 7 o'clock on this particular station. For those of you who are coming in by internet, I want you to go to harvestnewlifechurch.com. That's harvestnewlifechurch.com. You're going to go to schedules and services, and you're going to click on that icon. You're going to come about midway in the page. As you come midway in the page, you're going to see a little fluorescent sign that actually says Power of the Harvest. Click on that, and that'll bring you to our chat line. For those of you who are going to join the show locally, or those who just called into the studio and want to be a part of the service on tonight, I want you to take your pen to your paper, and I want you to write down this number, 347-637-1074. Once again, that's 347-637-1074. For those who even joined us with this series, we've been dealing with the power of the warfare that's in the land. And the Lord God has declared that we ought to pray in all types and all kinds of prayers. That when we lay down and we wake up, when we're washing clothes, when we're doing dishes, we're just sitting there with our wives or we're sitting there with our husbands. The word has been declared to decree that we ought to pray even as we walk. We may not have time to sit still and be able to get in the corner and close our eyes, but we can pray as we're on in the work. We can pray as we continue to stand and do the job, sitting behind the desk. Pray for the officials. Pray for the police officers. Pray for those beside you. Pray for those who spitefully hate you. And just declare the word of God according to the kingdom, that the word of God has got the power to loose, declare, and decree, and speak according to Jeremiah 32:17, to do all that is declared to do. The word of God does speak, and it does say, is there anything too hard for me to do? Well, most of us, as we say, we get into the show, we're going to get into this lesson, we're going to move forward with what the power of God is doing in this study, is dealing with the power of the warfare that's in the air. Most of you was with us last week. We deal with the Apostle Paul's journey to Ephesus, dealing with the Ephesians. And one of the things we dealt with, that Paul was expressing his desires, as the readers may know, an exceeding greatness of the power toward those who believe. This is over in Ephesians 1 and 19. But Paul reminded, you know, them that they ought to be dead to their sins and made alive through Christ Jesus. And even as the process and the power of God begin to move in your life, that you got to declare, decree, and speak according to Ephesians 4 and 17, that God has been giving you that ability to be able to call things to me not as they were. Well, we're going to go into some reading. We got a few chapters we're going to go through. We want you guys to get your pens, your pads, your pencil. For those who are coming on the line, those are part of the chat line. You do have free access to be able to sit your comments online if you so feel to do so. But let's get right into this word. Let's hear what the word of God has to say. And we're going to get over to the book of Ephesians. We're going to go over to chapter 2. It's going to start off with the chapter 2, and it's talking about you are dead in your trespasses and sins. We want to note that because we all understand we all walked to a course. We all did something in our lives that we just didn't come out of the womb saved. There was something we dealt with in the world that caused us to be able to come to Christ in such a way that we're dealing with some things in our mind. But Romans does declare when you line these scriptures up and you begin to parallel, God is calling you about besitness. In other words, he says in the Word of God over in Romans 12 and 2, he says that your mind ought to be transformed. But not only transformed, you ought to understand and realize that in one, he said, I'm begging you earnestly that you present your body as a living sacrifice. Now, what Ephesians is simply saying, opposite of what Romans 12, 1 and 2 said, he said, when you are dead in your trespasses and sins. And it says on in verse 2, it says, when then times passed, you walked according to the course. Now, notice what he's saying, the course of the world, according to the prince of the power of the air, of the spirit, that now worketh in the children of disobedience. Then I have a little horse here. Just bear with me and clear my throat a little bit. We're going to keep moving here, but we don't want to stop because our little anointed is about to pour into this word, and we're going to hear just what God is speaking on tonight, according to us as his children and as his people to move forward in what God calls to do. Now, it goes on in verse 3. It says, among whom you also, in our conversation the past time, had lust of the flesh. Now, when you talk about our conversation the past time, we was either around people that had spicy language, or we was dealing with people with spicy language, or we was just a person who was dishing out the spicy language. Not only the language, but in our physical attributes and activities, we went after things and done things that wasn't according to the kingdom of God. But this is when we were children. We got to understand. Now that we come to the knowledge and understand who we are in Christ, there is a transformation that has to take place. We'll read over the book of Galatians chapter 5, or that 16 verse, it talks about how there's a lust and a battle in the flesh. There's a lust and a battle in the spirit. Then when we go through these battles, they tend to get a hold of us in such a way they pull us out because we hadn't been come to the point of being conformed to know that Christ so loved us that he gave his only begotten son that we have the right to the tree of life. Now, when we read this, we understand that we all had some kind of nature. As we go down in this, it says, among whom you also had conversations in what times past, and lust of the flesh, fulfilling the desires of what? The mind. Meaning our mind hadn't been lined up according to Romans 12 and 2. We hadn't been transformed. There was something that was alienating us, pulling us away from that what God has called us to be. And when we think about the process of what God has called us to be, excuse me once again, so I'm trying to keep myself clear here, as we call what God called us to be, we got to realize and understand that even when we go back to the Old Testament, we understood the book of Jeremiah when he says in Jeremiah 1 and 5, the forming of us before we was knitted together in the womb. God had a purpose and a plan for our lives. And realize and understand that we come under the unction of the Spirit, that beacon system that was always in us, that the devil tried to keep that light out. But God has so given us a gift that in the process of having that gift, the enemy has always plowed what we call orange cones, detours. We see these sometimes, but those who stay in the city of Dallas, up and down 635, or any other major city that's around the city of, around this United States, you see a lot of detours, concrete barriers, and we got to take these little curves and turns. But in the opposite, as you really notice that, the GPS system for those who own one never picks up those concrete barriers or those orange cones because it was never designed to be there. From the construction of the highway, when the time was put in place, that type of instrument, what that type of detour never was put on the actual GPS system. So the Word of God declared that we was lusting. And some desires that we had, and then the process of lusting for those desires, we had strong desires, and God, to be real with some of us, we got to be real. We had desires for alcohol. We had desires to test certain things in the physical realm. Am I speaking to anybody? We don't got to get too contact here, but we understand. But those things drove us to have lust, whether it been money, whether it's been females, whether it been males, whether it been something that pulled us away from what God genetically engineered us to be. Now, when we think about this, we got to look at it real strong, because it talks about, when we talk about how it looks at it, they say he made us alive together with Christ. Now we're talking about in verse 4 and 10. We look at verse 4 and look at the first, it says like this, God who is rich in his mercy. Now that's the first thing we got to understand. God has given us mercy. Nobody has arrived, and this is one of the things I try to get some of the young people to understand in my church, as well as the older people. Now, this is one thing, you know, I got to help myself with as a pastor. Just because you're hoary-haired, meaning you're gray-haired, it doesn't mean you know everything. Just because you can flip through the Bible back and forth, this is revelation. This is not something that you can just read through as if it's some kind of study guide to the point that you can just quote the scriptures. And that's one of the things we got in the body of Christ. We got too many people quoting scriptures to the point that I understand the revelation of the revelatorial process of the Word of God. There's many revelations in the Word of God. It's not all set to one particular person. That's why the Word of God talks about how iron sharpens iron. You never can be somebody that know everything. You got to be around somebody that can help you. God does declare and decree to those who have been there, it's good to be amongst a pearl. Those men of God, those women of God who have labored in the ministry, such as Paul has done, and went through the persons and stripes to be able to prove to you that what he's going is worthwhile. But it goes on and speaks a powerful word over in the fifth verse. We flip our verse here. He said, even when you were dead in your sins, he had quickened us together with Christ. By his grace, you are saved. Now notice this when he talks about this. Made alive together with Christ. It talks about God made us alive together with Christ. by the values, by the virtue of the mercy and the grace of love, even when we were dead in our trespasses. What does that say? Our trespass, violation of the things, a violation of the word of God. Anytime you trespass, that's violating. And God never designed us to violate anything. He designed us to walk into it according to the course and the purpose of what he genetically engineered us to be. But even as we look at the book of Galatians, we flip back, and I don't want to put too much on you right now, but we got only so many minutes on this segment, and I want you to really catch this real clear as we begin to speak about it. Galatians talks about the very things that we had in our life. As we flip over the book of Galatians, for those of you who are with us, we want to take our time here for a minute, but we want to get through this series, but we don't want to rush it. We want you to get a clear understanding of what God is doing in this series. I want to go over the book of Galatians. As I flip my Bible along with you, I want to go to Galatians 5, and I want you to look at some of the things that we have dealt with as teenagers, as men, as women, even some as now. The word of God declares over in Galatians 5 and 16, he said, I say then walk in the Spirit. Now, when we talk about walking in the Spirit, there are some things that God has designed for us to be like. We talk about the Ten Commandments over in the book of Exodus, over in the book of Deuteronomy. The book of Exodus talks about the Ten Commandments in such a way that you got to know the relationship of Christ. The first five verses, the first five areas of the commandment, which is the first five commandments, deals with our relationship with Christ. And then it comes back to the second, from 6 through 10, it deals with our relationship with mankind. But Ephesians really breaks out the word and tells us that we were all once dead in our trespasses and sins. Now, when we were dead in those trespasses and sins, it's through Christ that we made alive, through the power of the Holy Ghost. Just because you lie in the water and come out of the water, sometimes you can go in a wet sinner and come up a sinner. You know, you don't come up a dry sinner and come up a dry sinner. You go in a wet sinner, you come up wet. See, that's made through the mind. This is why we got to understand the purpose of baptism. The water is just assembly. It's an acknowledgement, like you signing a title to a car or something of that nature. You don't get the free, you don't get the title to it until you understand that you got to go through the process of signing a contract. And then while signing the contract, you got some stipulations that's in there and a lot of other things that's underneath. But with Christ, it's the Ten Commandments. And the commandment declares and decrees that we got to walk according to his course. Not the course of the world, but his course. That's why it speaks in Galatians. It talks just like I'm speaking to you right now. It said, I say walk in the Spirit that you not fulfill what? The lust of the flesh. Now, I'm going to throw a little bit of something in there. The lust and the desires of the flesh. But even as we look back over to the book of Ephesians, when we look at 4 and 10 in that very area, just the 4 and 10 talks about how we were made together with Christ, the mercy and grace of love, the trespassing, and how grace have been saved. It's by grace we have been saved. It's only through the cross that we become saved. God raised. It talks about in the 6th verse. We're going to get over there, but I want to move too quick for the sake of time. I want to try to move to a point that can be so smooth that you guys really ride in here and see what we're saying right here. But he does goes on in Galatians 5 and 17. Now, we're still in the book of Ephesians, but we're paralleling the scriptures now to get a good understanding about what God is talking about, the bumping and the nudging of the flesh, those things that tick us off, those things that make us mad, those things that make us angry, but yet we still say we love God and we love Christ, hate our brothers and sisters. God created us. And the word of God does declare the decree. How can you hate those who have made? And you say you love me, the creator. But it goes on over in the book of Galatians. He said, for the flesh lusts against the spirit, and the spirit against the flesh. Now, the word contrary is a very controversial word, because we as contrary in the spirit, sometimes we get like what we call absent-minded. Because when we go to the book of James, it talks about the double-minded. That's over there in James 1 and 8. It talks about not a double-minded man receives, but that he receives anything from God. When we understand the process of what he's doing here, he said these things become contrary to one another, that you cannot what? Do the things in which you would. What is the things you need to would? We go back over to the book of Ephesians. Look what it says in Ephesians. He said, even when you were dead in your trespasses, you violated the word of God. But by grace you have been saved. It doesn't matter how bad your situation is. It doesn't matter what you have been, what you have done. God has got the ability to bring you out of whatever it is that you've ever been in. You can never sit still and believe that whatever you're in, that you ain't got the ability to come out of it. The word of God declares over in Jeremiah 1 and 5, over Jeremiah 32 and 17, excuse me, he says, that's anything to what hard for me to do. So when you put your trust in Christ and believe that the just shall walk by faith, understanding and realize that you're justified by what God done on the cross. He declared that his son died for the remission of sin, that we all may have what? The right to the tree of life. Meaning nobody has arrived. Nobody has all A's on the report card but Jesus Christ. Now, we look at Enoch and we look at Elijah. Those people was chosen by Christ. We look at Elijah. Elisha, he was whipped away in a wind of fire. We look at Enoch, he was just taken because he walked with God. Now, this is what I'm saying here. Now that Christ, the God, the Trinum, the Father, has sent his Son on the scene, and he came as an absorbent sponge. Notice when you take a sponge or something, you spill some water, and you begin to lay that sponge and begin to absorb. That's what God has sent his Son to do for the sins in our life. Then when we look at Psalm 53, he talks about that he was wounded. Now, I don't want to get too far on this. Now, I want you to catch this because we're going to get a little bit of action in here. We're going to get them moving. Now, when you look at this over in Isaiah 53, it gives the very reason why that sponge was put in every one of our lives. Now, he speaks it in this way, that if you take just water, you just drop it, you begin to dry it up. It absorbs whatever you put on it because it's got an evaporating system designed in it to pick up that was spilled on the floor. God says, so that what his Son done for you in your life, that even when your sins was out of order, out of whack, out of control, you didn't understand that you knew how to do it or know how to get to what God wanted you to be. But he declared by the word of God that even when you were in your trespasses and sins, God has made you alive according to the purpose, according to the power of the Holy Spirit. This is why we look over in the book of Ephesians, and we come over here in the book of Ephesians chapter 4, verse 4, and he talks about the process of how you were. When you came, he said, he's made you alive together with Christ, made you alive with Christ. Your values, the mercy and grace have saved you, which is by the cross. He said, even when you were in trespass, we talk about violations, and every one of us has violated something in our life to the point it wasn't pleasing with Christ. But this is where the catch comes in at. Nobody has ever arrived. The reason God sent his Son, that he may absorb us to the point that we may be free from that sin that's in us, he says that we may all have the right to what? The tree of life. Now, the tree of life declares and decree that whenever there's something unstructural, according to the kingdom in our life, that bucks against the Ten Commandments. Now, the Ten Commandments are not designed to save you. It's a law and place for you to walk by when you come into Christ. As we said before, the first five is our relationship with Christ. The second five is our relationship with man. You can't say you love God, and then you hate your brother, you hate your sister, the one who you work with, and you go to conversate about things about them on the side. That's not what God called you to do. This is why we bounced it over to the book of Galatians. And Galatians made it very clear about walking in the Spirit. It's a certain form that you walk in that even when the devil throw rocks at you, you got the ability, according to Ephesians 6 and 10, to put the shield up. You got the helmet. You got the breastplate. You got the shawls. But you can't take up these things and say you love God and you don't know the word. And the word declares, the decree that the word drives you to your knees. In other words, let me put it how Dr. Tony Evans said it one time. I had to chew on it for a while. Matter of fact, when the man of God said it, it was so favorable the way he said it. God will never get in contact with your problem unless you ask him in. Now, my problem with dealing with what Dr. Tony Evans has said, it chewed me to a point, but it was so real. Because Tony Evans said to the point that God would never get involved with your situation unless you allow him in. And then I said, wow, man, that's kind of, I had to chew on that one for. I didn't get that one right away. But I begin to think about it for a while. God is such a powerful God, such a Trinum God. Why would we have to ask him, who already know we are, to get involved with our problems? Well, it came back to me again as I had a prophetic dream. Go say, how do you ask your mother for things, even though she's a caretaker of your household? If you never would ask her for anything, she still takes care of you. But there's special things that you want from her that you would ask her. And, you know, she let her answer me, yay or let me nay. Now, my mother's house said, boy, quit asking me for that. You know, I can't get that. I can't afford that. But it wasn't a bother with me because now I know I had a Heavenly Father who could supply every one of my needs. And it just got to mean material things. He said he supply all of my needs according to what his riches and glory. And this is what the word of God declares when you understand what he said over in the book of Ephesians. As we go back to the book of Ephesians, we understand. I want anybody to get lost here because we're moving a little swiftly, but I want to get to the nitty-gritty because we got six chapters to go through. And we want to go back to the archives, listen to these services over and over again, slow it down, speed it up, and hear what the man of God is saying to you on this day, because it's going to be something that's going to help you in your walk with Christ. Now, as we look at this again, when we think about in verse 5, we're stuck in verse 5, Ephesians 2 and 5. He said, even when you were dead in your trespasses and sins. Now, we talked about the violation, that there are some orange cones that God deliberately put in your life and said, no, look, don't go over there. but through our misbehavior, what it says over in verse 1, where we were dead in our trespasses and sins, he made us alive to the point that we heard the word, but we disobeyed the word. And this is what Galatians comes in effect at. He said, look, if you're spiritually walking, then you'll understand the things you're doing, because it talks about the conviction of the heart. Romans said there's now no more condemnation of those who walk what in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after what? The Spirit. And this is what the Lord of God declared, that we ought to know how to pray in all types of prayer. What are you saying, Pastor? Stay on the line with Christ when you're driving down the street. Stay on the line with Christ when you're going to bed at night. Stay on the line with Christ when you're eating at the restaurant with your husband and kids. Keep a hedge of protection, a communication with Christ, because when situations begin to arrive, you don't have time to run in a corner and just close your eyes and pray. This is why I say you got to pray all types of prayers. Pray for those who are abusing children. Pray for that abusive wife, or pray for that husband who need a job. Don't go against them and nag about them. Pray for them. And this is what the Word of God said. We ought to pray in all types of prayers. So let's move on, because I'm getting a little yabby on that part. And I just want to get a clear understanding to you what he's feeling about that area when you were saved, you know, by grace, by the trust, passes and sins, that you are saved by Christ. But it goes on in Ephesians 6, and listen to this. It said he has raised us up together and made us to look set. We've set together and made us to set together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Wow, isn't that powerful? That even after all the things we've been through in the world, the lust of the flesh, going after things we're not supposed to, spicy language, talking about people we're not supposed to talk about, putting our mouths in places it wasn't supposed to be, but yet God still loved us, whether you was a prostitute, whether you was a dope dealer, whether you were suffering with cancer, whether you're suffering with any kind of ailment of the body, that God declares, decree that he's got the power, and if you can believe that everything and all things are possible. He decrees the word, even when he speaks over in the book of Mark 9 and 23, he talks about the process. Mark 9:11 talks about a powerful process too. Even when Jesus came up the mountain of transfiguration, we see the man and woman in the book of Mark 9, and we think about the process when he came off the mountain of transfiguration. There was a man who had a son that was demon-possessed in the crowd. And when you look at that scripture, you think about it, he cried out to Christ. If he never would have said anything to Christ, Christ would never even said a thing to him. But since he knew that Christ had the power to live in whatever he was in, then he cried out to Christ. Matter of fact, let's just go ahead and line the scripture up while we're here. We might as well get on over there. We've got a few minutes. Let's go to the book of Mark. Chapter 9, and let's look over here, Mark chapter 9. Let's hear what the Word of God is. I come straight from the Scripture. I want you to line it up with me also. As we study this Word of God, I don't want to come off any kind of plagiarism that we hear. I just roll strictly off the Holy Ghost. And I believe when God gives me a prophetic word, it's going to be a word that's going to move forth. It's not going to go back and forth. I don't have to pre-write anything down, because I roll strictly in the spirit of what God's given to me. And it says over in the book of Mark, chapter 9, for those who know the gospel, Jesus said unto him, if thou can believe. This is Mark 9:23. But when you go up a little farther and you look at 18, he says, whoever taketh him and throweth him, and he foameth and he gashes with his teeth. And he fainted away, and he speaks, and the disciples said, cast them out, that they could not. And then it goes to the 19th verse, and he answered, and he said, faithless generation, how long shall I be with you, and how long shall I suffer you? Meaning that when we go into the house of God, I just want to speak on that a little bit. When we go in the house of God, we can't go in the house of God just for repetition. We just going to go to hear the choir sing, hear the pastor preach, or see the dancers dance, and hear the choir sing. You know, we know it's a process that we go into God's house to be delivered from whatever it is, to see the power and the manifestation of God move. In other words, we can't become slaves in the church. You just can continue to do repetitional things over and over again. We got a program for this. We got a program for that. No, we want to come in and see the presence of God move. That when the anointing flow, that the blood or the power of the Spirit to be there to do this desire to do. It's kind of like in the book John 5, the Pool of Bethesda. It said an angel came down to begin to trouble the water. And as he troubled the water, the Bible said whoever got in when the angel came was healed from ever proclivity that they had in their life. I'm not speaking to anybody this afternoon. Oh, I feel a Holy Ghost moving this, but I got to keep myself in position to hear, to teach this word. Now, when he said the angel came down, he troubled the water. This troubling of the water declares that when you move in the Spirit of God, that the power of the Holy Ghost is present to deliver you for whatever. I don't care what you're going through and what you've been through. I don't care if your finances are bad. I don't care if your marriage is on the rocks. I don't care if you're so far down in the ground, somebody got to pump light down to you.
God can bring you out, because he's declared the word according to the book of Numbers over in 23:19-20. Am I a God that I should lie? Or am I a son of a man that I should have to repent? The commandment has been given. Let's back it up with a plethora of information. He says the same thing over in Psalms 89:34. He says his word he will not alter. He goes back and said in Isaiah 55:11. He said his word will not go back void. I mean, God is not a God that he will lie. But one thing about when you look at the book of Numbers 23:19-21, at the end of that particular verse, he says, I have been given a commandment. God declared by his word he will live up to everything he said. He won't be like us. He won't be like man. He won't say one thing and do something else. He's going to declare that whatever he speaks is going to pull forth. That even when this man of God came off the mountain of when God came off and Jesus came off the mountain of transfiguration, the word was declared and decreed that the disciples who was with them was faithless after seeing all the power and the demonstration that Christ done in their life. They still couldn't believe and understand that they had the ability to be able to heal this young boy from whatever it is. When you go down to the 20th verse in Mark 9:20, he says, and they brought him unto him, and when they saw him straightway, what did the Spirit do? The Spirit tore him, and he fell on the ground and wallowed in foam. But listen to what the prophetic word of God says. He says it like this, and he asked the Father, even in the midst of this boy going through this formization and going through this fit, this disease, sickness that he was going through, Jesus so calm and having confidence in himself, even when the boy was wallowing, the demons were whooping him, Jesus came to the Father and asked him calmly, and he's asked the Father, how long is it ago that such this thing has come unto him? And he said, of a child. This thing been whooping my son as a child. I've been dealing with this thing ever since. I'm telling you, ladies and gentlemen, when you got a knucklehead kid in your house, you got a son that wanna disobey, don't want to learn the word of God, I'm telling you, put that word on. You put that word is like a fork. The word of God says in the book of Ephesians, like a sword. It'll chop off, it'll fillet him, it'll fillet her, it'll shut off everything in their life that's not like God. But he goes on and says over in verse 22 of the book of Mark 9:22. He said, often he has cast himself into the fire and into the water. Look, to destroy him. No, it wasn't the demon trying to destroy the boy. He was trying to put a fit in the Father, because the Father really did believe. But because of the things that he was dealing with, he couldn't understand why the very disciples that follow Christ couldn't cast this demon out. And it's kind of like us in the body of Christ. Why should we follow a man of God who says he's a man of God, and we don't see the demonstration of the power through him? No, we want an educational thing. We want to hear the word of God because they got a degree on the wall. We want to hear the word because they're popular on TV. We don't want to follow them because of the power of God. He's got the ability to loose whatever it is in the life of your children and the life of your finances in the life of your problem. I'm telling you, ladies and gentlemen, you got to stop following things that look good and begin to line it up with the Spirit to know that God has got the ability to bring you. I don't care what you've been through. I don't care what you deal with. God has got the ability to loose everything to the according to the power of the Holy Spirit. He goes on and says over in the verse 23, he said to him, if thou canst believe that all things are possible to him that believeth. It looked like we jumped off course, but I'm about to ring this thing back in and show you what it's dealing with the book of Ephesians, how he said that you were dead in your trespasses and sin, and God made you alive. This man of God, even though he may have believed, he was still dealing with what you call dibbling dabbling. In other words, he was like what it said in the book of James. He was double-minded in his faith, and this is what a problem comes into most people's life. When a problem comes up, and then you begin to mumble and complain about it, look, just be quiet and trust God. Don't get with your girlfriends. Don't get your boyfriend. Look, get on your knees and begin to proclaim the word of God that he's not a God that he should lie, or he's not a son of a man that he should have to repent. Look, the commandment has been given. God said, I will not alter my plan. I will not alter my instruction. There's nothing wrong with the world, which is the seed. It's the ground that's been planted. It's us who has the problem of belief. You're dealing with a situation with your girlfriend. You're dealing with a situation with your wife. You're dealing with a situation with your fiancé, someone you're about to bring into your life. You better check that thing at the door before you bring it in there, because once they get in there, it'll be just like the strong man. And the Bible says if you don't bind a strong man, once you bind him, you got to put something else in your life to control that demon that's trying to come in and cause these problems in your life, because the enemy is designed to destroy you in every effort that he's trying to do. You see it right here in verse 22 of Mark 9. He said he often cast himself into the fire. The devil will put you in a fiery situation. I'm telling you, ladies and gentlemen, when you get down on your knees and begin to pray to God and ask him to deliver you out of whatever it is that's in you, the battle has just begun, according to Ephesians 6 and 10. The Bible said, and finally, my brother, put on the whole armor of God. But let me give you a catch to what I'm telling you. Because when you get on your knees and begin to pray, and as you praying, as soon as you get off your knees, the devil got something to knock the wind clean up out of you. But the Bible declares and decrees, according to the book of Luke 11, that you got to be persistent in the word of God, that you got to keep continuing on speaking that what God has declared and promised in your life. Remember, we got to line the scriptures up, and we got to believe what it says. Am I that God? Then I shall lie. If you're serving a God of life, you better find somewhere that you got to go. Because I'm telling you, that thing will whoop you and put knots beside your head, and you'll be complaining about the knots on your head all day long rather than sitting down and believing in God. I'm telling you, the word that's coming to you today is coming straight through the Spirit. And I'm declaring by the word of God and by the power of the Spirit that even when we begin to read these words over in the book of Ephesians, God has promised, according to the word of God, over in the book of Ephesians, he said he made us together in Ephesians 4. Of Ephesians 10, over that 4-10 verse. He made us to hang together with him. Matter of fact, let's look at that, because I hate to just paraphrase anything. I like to line stuff up with the scripture. I don't like to just go and just alter things that I think I might know. I want to hear what the word of God has to say. And he says on Ephesians 2 and 6, he said he raised us up together and made us to sit together in heavenly places. Now, when we talked about the heavenly places, God said, according to his promise, according to his word, he says over in Isaiah 53, what kind of reports are you believing? And matter of fact, not only what kind of reports are you believing, I'm talking about people who have a lack in faith. He said, not only what kind of reports are you believing, he said, but who has that report? And whom has that report been revealed? Meaning you can't go on and believe what everybody tell you. If it didn't come from the kingdom, God said, I didn't say it. If he got a sickness and she got a sickness in her body, if the kids are out of line, God said, I didn't tell them I hate them. I didn't tell them they're going to prison. I didn't tell you that anything in their life they would fail. I don't care if they're going to educational problem. Teachers sending all kind of notes home saying they're having a problem studying. No, you declare the word by the word of God over your children, and you decree a thing. You got a lack of finances coming in the house. Am I talking to anybody in the name of Jesus? That God has decreed and made a promise according to his word that he said in Mark 9:23, that him that if I can just believe, that all things are possible. Sometimes we got to cry out before God, like this man of God did. He said, Lord, help my unbelief that I may believe and what you have designed and engineered for me to be. I am created to be in the image of Christ. No weapon can be formed against me shall prosper. He goes on and said in Ephesians 6 and 8, he said, it's by grace that you are saved. Look at here. Not just grace, but through faith. And not of yourself. Not your education. Not the things you think you got the degree in. That paper on the wall is just something hanging on. I got them all over the wall. But I'm telling you, I don't know the understanding and structure now that I see it clearly. Like the old song said, I can see clearly now that the rain has fallen. I can see all the obstacles in my way. The devil had me blinded with the world. That's why the word of God declares and decreed that when you were in your trespasses and sins, he made you alive. He made you to open your eyes and see the true reality in what you designed and engineered to be a beacon system for those around you, that you may know and understand that he's a God, and he's not a God that he should lie, but he will save you, that you will go through a repentance process and understand that, Lord, forgive me for every trespass I had in my life, everything to my area of disobedience. Lord, forgive me in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. I plead the blood according to the authority that you have placed in my life from the foundation of the world. The word declares over in the book of Luke, he said, I have given you power. I didn't make you a wimp. I didn't make you a chump in the ministry. I made you to have power. I made you the power to have boldness in the spirit, to be able to declare and decree and speak according to Romans 4:17, and call things in your life, in your problems. I heard a man of God, an apostle out of Houston say, God has got the ability through your faith to break the back of lack in everything in your life. I'm telling you, ladies and gentlemen, if you can just believe, in spite of whatever you're dealing with, in spite of whatever you're going through, God God has got the power to bring you out. Every instrument that he had created in your body is already there. Can I tell you something? God is not going to give you no more of anything, because when he made you, he already made you with everything you need. He's not going to give you no more power. He's not going to give you no more faith. He's not going to give you no more health, because why? He gave you every yield-bearing seed according to Peter 1 and 3. And then not only that, he gave you everything according to the Spirit, that you got to know what's in your utility belt. You watch the old movie Batman, he knew what was in his utility belt. When the enemy came against him, he knew just what kind of weapon to use, because he opened up that thing, the utility belt, and he began to whoop that devil and whoop him back in where he needs to be. And sometimes you got to whoop that word out, and you got to whoop that devil back in the place where he needs to be. Now, you need to get up out of here. Matter of fact, you need to get the hell up out of here, because you ain't finna call the hell to come up in my life. And sometimes you just got to beat the hell up out of him with the word. And you got to declare the word of God according to the Spirit, that no weapon can be formed against you. You've been designed. You've been engineered. You've been built according to this word. To pray the prayer of faith. And in other words, you pray that God has got an ear. I'm telling you, you got to call on God like he got a hearing aid in the name of Jesus. And you got to lay in a prostrate position, and you can't care about who looking at you, because you're trying to get blessed by what God has designed for you to be in your life. I'm telling you, ladies and gentlemen, look here. If I got an inheritance waiting on me, I ain't going to let nobody stand in my way. If God has made a promise to me, I'm going to get all that I can get in this life that he's given unto me. If he said he'd give me power, then I got power. If he gave me the power to shut down every demon, to tread upon every serpent, then I got the ability to do that. What I have to do is get in prayer and seek ye first the kingdom of God. And I believe by the manifestation that everything in your life will be added unto you. I don't care where you are. You can be in a rat hole. You can be outside. You can be about to be put out of where you are. But I'm telling you, you call on God in the name of Jesus. I believe he will by no means cast you away. He will come in and do what he's designed to do. The word goes on and speaks over in Ephesians, the book of Ephesians 2 and 9. He said, not of works. That's any man. God will not let you boast on nothing. You ain't going to say you've done anything by your little piece of paper on the wall, by you going out and running the streets, and by you think you got favor because another man gave you favor. Now, God said, I speak to the man of men. I designed them to give you what I want them to you to have. I work through them. I am the one. I am the author. I am the finisher of your faith. He goes on and speaks over in the 10th verse. He said, for we are workmanship. Look at me. We are workmanship. That means we're blacksmith and creator. We hammer and mold in the place. In Jesus' name, unto the good works and what God has before ordained that we should walk in them. Man, y'all been already made. We all been already made. That's why the word of God says no weapon can be formed. You've been fashioned and formed, created and designed to have power in the name of Jesus. I'm telling you, I'm trying to hold my peace here, because I feel the power of God moving in this word. He goes on and says that even when you, therefore remember that when you were in times past as Gentiles, we're talking about ripping the veil right now in the name of Jesus. He said, when you passed in Gentiles in the flesh, who you are called uncircumcised, by which you were called circumcised in the flesh made by hands. Listen to what he says this. Wherefore remember that you being in times and past Gentiles in the flesh, meaning we was away from Christ. Can I take you back and let them understand what he's saying? Go back to verse 1 and look what he said in verse 1. He said that you have quickened you. When you were dead in your trespasses and sins, God said he made you alive. Gentile condition without Christ. That's what he's telling you. When you're outside the body of Christ, you are alienated from the commonwealth of Israel, the chosen, strangers from the covenant of promise. Am I talking to anybody? Having no hope and without God in the what world, you were just lost. Somebody, you didn't even want to keep the leash on. You got so rebellious, you just wanted to run wild. You just got stray. And now all of a sudden, God got to put you back in place, and then you understand why you got all kind of hell coming in your life. He ain't trying to hurt you. He's trying to help you. God is never trying to hurt you and what you can to get you to go. It may seem that way with you, but God's trying to get you to understand when I got you there before, you got back and you rebelled. But I'm telling you, ladies and gentlemen, once Christ gets you to a point that he wants you to be, and you get there, and then you get so comfortable, you start straying back, guess what? Guess what? Come on now. Let me talk to somebody. Your way going back is going to be even harder because the word of God declared that you were getting rid of the strong man. You were kicking them out in the first time. You have served him eviction notice, and now you got back in the flesh. You remember your past sins. And then they begin to creep back up on you. They begin to bring remembrance in your mind because you forgot what it said in Romans 12 and 2, that your mind's supposed to have been renewed. It's supposed to have been transformed. But through the cares of the world, you begin to get those strange feelings back. And now you find yourself, what that song said, you right back, starting right back over again. I'm right back in this place one more time. Doesn't it feel familiar to some of you all? That seem like, why am I still going through this? Well, you know, the word of God declares according to what? 1 Corinthians 1 and 23, that first let a man examine you. It ain't God that's doing it. You got to examine yourself. You know what you've done. You got to a point where God made you come out of where you are. Now you went right back and got back in the monkey mile after he done bought you out. And now when he's taking you through the why, then you want to understand why you're going through this. Well, think about it. You went back to the trespasses. When he moves all the orange cones out of your life, all the detour signs of your life, the way it began to get clear, as I said earlier today, the song said, I can see clear now that the rain is fall. God began to wash all the stuff out of your life. And now by your hard-headedness and disobedience, you begin to get comfortable. But now that God began to bless you, you got comfortable in the place where you are. When God began to bring you out of the haystack, you begin to lay back. You stop going to church. You stop praying. You start hanging around with unfamiliar friends. You start doing things you know you're not supposed to do. But now you find yourself, when the people come around, you think they're doing you bad. No, they ain't got time to deal with your mess because they're trying to go somewhere. It's just like those preachers in the pulpit, and I put myself in that position also. If I'm doing something in the pulpit that's not right by me, then you charge me. But if I'm living by the word of God and being the expectation where God want me to be, that be an example to you, then you follow me as far as the word that I speak, not of my flesh, because the Bible said anybody can be tempted. That's why I keep good people around me. I keep my wife around me, who's an anointed woman of God, constantly keep me in check. I got good friends. I got good pastor friends. I got good apostle friends that constantly keep me in line with what God has called for me to do. Because I'm telling you, ladies and gentlemen, we're living in some bad times now. The enemy is on the prowl. He's trying to seek and destroy. The Bible declares over in the book of Job, he says, Satan, where goest thou? He says, I'm seeking who I may devour. And I'm telling you, you get outside the perimeters of God, you're free game. Y'all watch the Discovery Channel. Y'all been out there. You see what happened when the weak one get outside the herd. He get devoured. And all the other ones do is look on as a lesson and say, you get outside, that's what's going to happen to you. And that's what's happened to some of us in our life in the physical form. That we getting devoured, we getting beat up, not on the physical, but in the spiritual. That we so messed up from the flow up, that we need to check up from the head up. We don't know which way is up and which way is down. But God is telling me you got to burn out your knees. You got to get on the ground and you got to pray. You got to go to the universe of neology and you got to call on God in your time of need. I don't know about you. I don't know what you're going through. But you know what? I'm not going to put it and say it ain't my problem. My job is to pray for you. The Bible says when you're in, when you haven't done all, you need to know how to stand. The Bible says stand therefore and know that God is in your life to help you come out of wherever you're in. Well, I got my co-pastor here. He's going to be speaking a while. We're going to speak with you a little bit. As I done probably chewed enough and the word that convicted me up in here. And I'm the man that God is bringing word. I'm telling you, the Holy Spirit will not play with you. But I want to bring the co-pastor on, and she's always got something beautiful to say to you guys. I know you love her. We thank y'all for praying for us, and she's going to come on at this moment, and she's going to share a word with you, and we're going to open the lines up for anybody who wants to discuss anything on this particular chapter. Now, don't come to me with off-the-wall stuff. You come to me concerning the lesson tonight, and we want to hear what you have to say. Co-Pastor Patty?
Amen. And what I was thinking about, you had just mentioned a little while ago about how, you know, things are going okay, and then you wonder why things are turning upside down again. And we have to be, as followers of Christ, we have to stay plugged in. And imagine it this way, that you're in a dark room and you turn on a light, but that light, that lamp is plugged into the wall. And the only way that you get the source is to be plugged into the wall to have the light. Well, when you get away from Christ, then it's like you took that plug and just yanked it out of the wall, and now it went dark again. And that's, if you don't stay plugged into Christ, that's what happens in your life. We have to realize, as followers of a Christ, who is the head? Where do we get our direction from? If we think that we can do it on our own, then it may work for a moment, but long lasting, we have to stay plugged into Christ. We have to be in the position of reading the Word, of understanding the Word, of being in these times where you have a great teacher, as you're listening to right now with a pastor, that he's explaining in Ephesians that's showing you that you have, your source is Christ. He's getting divine instruction. And the only way that we can do that is listening, reading the Word of God. That's how we stay plugged in, by prayer, by fasting, in those specific times that you stay quiet and you're listening to the Lord for the guidance. If we unplug ourselves, it's like going through life just living haphazardly. Don't know whether you're coming or going. Getting closer to the Lord and developing your relationship takes some work, and it takes effort. It takes daily effort. But that's what we have to do, following Christ, being followers of Christ, being in the body of Christ. We not only the Word, but you have to surround yourself with like-minded people in order to continue to encourage, as the pastor was saying, how his body is. And I wanted to share that with you because in this particular instance, when we're hearing about Ephesians, and there's such good information in here, that it's always the divine source that we have to stay plugged into. Amen?
Amen, amen. You know, it's just so amazing when Anita said, when she talked about how you need to watch your surroundings, because it, you know, evil communication corrupts good judgment. Evil presence, being around people who you know that's not right, but yet they stay around one another. And I got a question on the line, but I want that person to hold fast for just a minute, because I want to go down through the book of Ephesians. I want to just want you to hear some of the things that we speak before we get out of this particular chapter. And it says that in verse 13, but now Christ Jesus, who was sometimes were afar off and made nigh by the blood. Now, listen, the blood is what brought you closer. He says in the 14th verse, and then he said, for he is our peace, who has made bout one and has broken down the middle wall. Come on, somebody. To partition between us. You know what a partition is? It's a divider. It's sin on one side, God on the other side. And God said, you didn't understand because you were divided-minded. And if you really understood who I was, when the things came against you, you would have known what side you understand. That's why James said, look, don't be double-minded. And when things don't come to you like this, don't be afraid. Don't be scared, because now you got to understand what 1 Corinthians 11:23 says. You, it ain't God. He ain't waiting. Look, you got to check yourself. What is it in my life? And then when you line up all the cones in your life and understand where your destruction is coming from and where your trespassing is coming from, then even when God, it seems like he's not answering your prayer, you got to stay right there. You got to believe like the brother did over in Luke 11. The brother said he came on the phone and he persistently knocked on the door to that brother, go up and give him something to eat because of the people he brought in. He said over in the 15th verse, having abolished, that word abolished, let me wipe out everything. That means when you think about that, it takes you back to 2 Corinthians 5:17. You know, any man be in Christ, he's brand new. That like all things has passed away. The fresh enmity, even the law of the commandments contained in ordinance. We talked about the commandments. For to making in himself twins, one now man so make it peace. Look what it says in the 16th verse. And that he might reconcile. That's really, we're talking about reconcile. That's kind of like a word you do with multiplication, you do with calculus. It's a move, reconcile both unto God in one body. I mean, you come one. By what? The cross. Having slain the enmity thereby. Your weakness.
The things was fighting against you. It's telling you when you're supposed to not talk, you cussed. And when you were supposed to not say something, you said something anyway. God said, that's a battle between that. You know, that thing wants you to say something. My wife get at me all the time, sometimes about things. She said, won't you just be quiet and leave it alone? I'm going to leave it alone, but I got something else I got to say. That's empathy. That's weakness. And you can't be afraid to admit your weakness. Now, I'm not giving, now the Bible says it don't give you a license to sin. You just got to get on the right people that can help you when you fall into those situations. And it said he came and preached peace to you when you are far off. And to them yet, we're not. Look, the world is always near you. I don't care how far you are away from Christ, drinking, drugging, dealing, whatever you want to do. The word of God is always near you. Because what he says in Romans 10:8-9, where is the word? It's nigh you. It's in your mouth. If you confess it and believe it, you shall be what? Saved. He says in the 18th verse, for through him we will both have access by one spirit unto the Father. Ain't but one place going. There ain't no other way to get in but through the Spirit. You got to come through the Holy Ghost. The Bible says flesh and blood will not enter. That's why you can't boast about anything in your life, because there's got to be a God in heaven that's going to bring you out of whatever you're in. Now, therefore, he says in the 19th verse, now, therefore, you are one more stranger and foreigner, but fellow citizens with the saints and of the house of God. Look at that. Now, therefore, you are no more stranger. You're not a stranger no more, because why? You opened your mouth. And you ask Christ to come into your life. Guess what we're going to do at the end of this broadcast? We always offer salvation in the life of people who want to be saved, sanctified, and filled with the precious power of the Holy Spirit, and that with fire. I ain't talking about just talking about something. I'm talking about following up, getting in your local church, getting on the good path, getting ready to lead and go somewhere where God can really bless you. I ain't talking about these people just running around talking on the microphone. I'm talking about really getting saved. Because most of us just want to show out how much we think we know. And it's not about you anywhere. It's not about you putting a monkey suit on the bed around the corner. It's not about you a monkey suit preaching the word. It's about you understanding that the word God has given, that you give it to those that they may be saved. The Bible said, who are you that you boast about anything? You ain't nobody. The Bible said the word has got to be revealed through the prophet. The prophet got to understand he's got to preach that what God has given him to preach. It ain't through your degrees or your intellect. It's through the power of God that you may have the access to the kingdom to deliver that unto not your people, but his people. So what they walking in and out of your building? If you got one in that priest, it's one. You got to have faith. He says over in the 20th verse, he said, and are built up in the foundations of the apostles. I'm talking about the teaching. Talk about the Matthew, the Mark, the Luke, the powerful stuff. Ezekiel, you know, Ezra, Zechariah. They did stuff for us. You were built up by the apostles and the prophets and Jesus Christ, to him being a chief cornerstone. I'm talking about a chief cornerstone. My wife talked about this one time. A chief cornerstone. In whom all the building fitted firmly together and growth unto one holy temple in the Lord. I'm telling you, you can't come out, you can't come to God and be outside. It's like you're trying to have somebody come into your life and you can't sleep at night, but you got a stranger sleeping in your house. A lot of us got strangers sleeping in our temple, and we wonder why we messed up and we can't go straight, because we got some strange things that we still deal with in our life behind closed walls. Because we don't want to open up and tell God what we're dealing with. Ain't it something when the Bible said if you got some problem, you ought to bring it to the elders of the church that you may confess your sins? But no, we want to come into the church, go up there, let lay oil on us, pray for us. And we know we still got some hidden things inside of us, but we don't want to get rid of them. You want to grease somebody else down, you need to grease yourself down. While the pastor put his hand on you, and I'm a pastor myself, if I don't check myself, then I'm going to check somebody else. I'm telling you some truth. Some unhidden things that people are not allowed to talk to you about, but now you're hearing it fresh because you're going to have to get real with God. Because he stands behind the pulpit, he says he's an anointed man of God, don't you dare. You got to line up with the Spirit. Ain't nothing wrong with you following the man of God, and ain't nothing wrong with you being in the house and helping out. But this is not a game. You don't become a slave to a building. Don't you know you are the temple of the Holy Spirit? If God commands you to be under the authority of that man of God, under the authority of that particular ministry, then you be there and serve right. But don't you serve no flesh. You serve by the Spirit and by the power of God that he's put in you. The word declares, and he goes on and says in the 22nd verse, as we finish this verse out, the second verse out, in whom you also are built together inhabitation of God through what? The Spirit. We could take that thing all the way back over to Corinthians. He's talking about everything is through one Spirit. The gift of tongues, the gift of speaking, the interpretation of tongues, the laying of hands, everything to one Spirit. You can't be in the body of Christ and be unfitted together like he says over here in the book of Ephesians 2, verse 2 and 21. You got to be a part of it. You got to be fitted together. You got to grow unto the holy temple. Anything outside, and you need to leave it alone. I'm telling you, ladies and gentlemen, we run into a time now that we got to realize in our life, we got to stop being enslaved inside a building. That if the man of God is not teaching you to go to the mission field, let me put it like this, in my house, in Harvest New Life Church, if anything refuses to change, we'll die. If you don't have no people that can go outside them doors and be able to minister the word of God outside that you, because the mission field is outside the door. And this is a problem we got in the house of God. I'm not going to hold you too long, but I'm just going to do like the pastor told me. I'm going to hit you with a short stick and I'm going to let you go. I never knew what that meant, but I'm going to say it anyway. But we got to understand that when we're in the house of God, the word has been designed and engineered for us to receive and take it to what? The mission field. What is the mission field? Read what it says in Mark in Matthew 28. He said, go throughout all. He didn't tell you to stay in the building with your nice clothes and your good suits on, your goodly apparel. And then you come in and you think to somebody, look, get out there in the streets and the highways and the byways. Just like that brother when he had the wedding feast, the wedding party. He went and invited all them so-called uppity brothers that supposed to have been at the wedding. And when he went to get them, all of them had an excuse about what they had to do with their money. Look, don't you dare. When God starts bringing you out of your proclivities and out of your problems, if you begin to forget, the Bible said, lest you forget, he told him in Deuteronomy. Don't you forget when I bring you into the land. Don't you forget when I get you in these lovely houses, pomegranates, fruit, and all the vines of the field, and you may feast and eat, and then you get propped up, and you get in goodly houses, and you forget about me. No, it doesn't matter, because you come in the house of God. You got your nice Louis Vuitton, whatever you wear, Gucci, whatever you have on. You got glasses cost more than the offering plate. You got heels on that cost more than people's rent. And all of a sudden, you got your big brooch on. You got your big nice hat on. But baby, look here, you can't a 10-pound Bible, but you got a crack in your foundation. You need to check yourself and find out what it is that God really wants you to do. The Bible says that any man be in Christ. You got to believe and declare by the word of God that you are a new you are a new creature. That all things are passed away. Don't you let nobody stray you in the wrong direction. We living in a time now where the enemy is so settled that Jezebel and the Ahab is working together to cause division in your life. I'm telling you something, ladies and gentlemen, and don't y'all take me wrong. I'm a man of God, and I preach the gospel, but I'm going to tell you something. If you want to get hurt, go to the church. But when you step into the house of God, you got to know what your plan is. Being my time of playing professional sports and playing collegiate ball, when I stepped on that field, I knew what my role was. Sometimes off the time I got my head spit, but I knew I had to get up off the ground. I had to get my teeth knocked out, mouthpiece over here, feeling for something. But I knew I had to get back into play because there was something come again. Don't you let nobody spin you with their conning words. Don't you let nobody come to you with an Apollo-type speech and fill you in, and all of a sudden you get rung up by emotion, and all of a sudden your glass is flying one way and your wig the other way, and when you get up off the floor, you're still the same person when you got up. If there's no transformation, if there's no move of the power of the Spirit, you better check the house. And I ain't talking about the house you're in, you better check your house. I didn't mean to get too far off on y'all this afternoon, but you got to tell it like it is, and you got to believe by the power of God that God has designed and engineered you to be something more and more greater. Everyone on this line has got a ministry in him. And what you got to understand is what the fivefold is designed to be. You just can't sit there on the pew and let everybody take jurisdiction over what God has put in you. If the man of God don't want you to help expand the ministry, then you go somewhere else that somebody can help you grow, that you can continue to do. Let that house expand. If you don't understand the process of the fivefold, then you need to get away from that. Because the ministry is designed to expand. It's not disobedience. It's not rebellion. You just want to grow in Christ with the gift that God has put in you. And all you do is run in a chance. The Bible declares in the creeds of the book of Jeremiah 1 and 5, he said, before you were formed, he knew you. Just like he called me to be a pastor. He may call you to be a deacon. He may call you to be the woman of God to preach the word. That's another thing I got a problem with. That people who don't want women behind the pulpit. I'm trying to hear something from God. I don't want to get into all that traditional stuff. I want to hear a word from God. We live in a season now that we got to have an ear to hear and hear what the Spirit of the Lord has to say to the church. And I ain't talking about no bricks and mortar, neither. I'm talking about to your spirit. I better get up off of here because we're going to be past our time. But anybody, I want to open the lines up for this young woman. I see the woman of God, the sound of the number looks familiar to me, about what she has to say because she comes on the line quite a bit, and I'm quite sure that is her. But you're calling from a 214-476. We want to give everything out. We might have something out there hanging in the audience that might want to talk crazy to you, but we want to give you this opening here, 214-476-3, 476. We'll leave it right there. You're on the air.
Hello. Yes, I really I like the way Pastor Patty put it as far as being plugged in. I recently, you know, got disconnected. I got all the way disconnected. And like she was saying, when you unplug the light from the light source, you're in the dark. And I had to look around me, and I realized how much my disconnection affected everyone around me. And when you were talking about, you know, your mind being renewed, it's, you know, like you're saying the word, you know, you make it rain on the just and the unjust. The same thing happens to all of us. You can't work hard enough to get everything perfect from him because he's doing the work inside of you. Like if you have a problem with patience, you're always going to be waiting until you come to him with that problem. And, you know, with me, the hands were like wounds. And it was certain wounds I would go to him with for healing. But then while I'm ignoring these other wounds, they start off small. But then they start getting infected. And then I really had a problem because it would start off something as small as listening to the wrong music. Listening to the wrong music instead of listening to the worship music that I would usually, I'm listening to the wrong music. And I'm not feeding my spirit. So when certain situations happen, I'm not thinking about the word. I'm thinking about the song I heard that was talking about that, that has no type of good in it. And I just got to a point where, you know, I really had to check myself. I really had to check myself. And, you know, but I had to come to God with it and confess to him that I am filthy. I do need help, that I can't do it without him. You were speaking about Psalms 91, I think it was about a week ago. And, you know, it was talking about in Psalms 91, how you abide, about abiding in the shadow of the Almighty. But the only thing about the shadow is, if I'm in the shadow, if I'm supposed to be in the shadow, I'm not the one sleeping. He's sleeping. We can't abide in the shadow, and then your shadow doesn't go a different direction. It's following you. It's under you. Whatever you do, it's doing. And, you know, sometimes we get disconnected. And just for example, if somebody tells a little lie, you can tell somebody, just up and told somebody, oh, well, your dress looks pretty. They didn't even ask you or nothing. You just say, dress looks pretty. You don't really like it. And you would look at that and be like, that was a little lie. And that's something you wouldn't come to God about. But little lie, big lie, that would make you a liar. And we tend to put down, you know, the certain sins that we have because it's, quote-unquote, not that big. Well, just because I told a little lie doesn't mean I'm a liar. It really does. It really does. But we won't know that if we're not connected to God. If we're connected, we have the fruits of the Spirit. Like you said, he can't give us anything that he hasn't already put in us. But if we're not connected, we cannot activate that. It's like if you don't plug that light up, it's not going to come on. You can change the light bulb. You can change the location. Whatever, you can put a lampshade on it, whatever you want to do, but it's not going to come on unless it's plugged up. And so I just really enjoyed the lesson, and I got a lot out of it.
Amen, woman God. You know, when she spoke about those of you that know that Matthew 5:40, I believe 5:45, you know, it really just tells us we ought to be intimate with God. And intimate God meaning that you got to be truthful with God. Now, when she said because I told her, you know, I told her, when we were little, we weren't made to say lie. I told a story, but it's the same thing. When you told a story, but that's what it is. You tell something that wasn't true. And this is what it gets to me, that when people get to a point or they feel that it can be beating anybody, you know, that they feel that they lie less. They ain't never had that. Well, I didn't tell her all the truth. Well, look, I don't care if you told a little bit. It was still opposite of what God wanted you to be. You know, it hurts sometimes to tell the truth, but you need to tell what the truth. It's the truth will set you free. That's what the Word of God says. Because just like she said, lies, little lies, turn into big. They begin to snowball. That's why I said there's no more fear in the house of God. That you got preachers in the pulpit lying and fornicating. Am I talking to anybody? The congregation that went on about their way to want to get started. But you got problems in the pulpit now. You know, see, the congregation, they want to get their move on and go at all. You know, but now you got a problem in the pulpit. Because now they have been elevated and then beyond their means. But I'm telling you like this with myself. Whenever I get to a point, there are old songs saying back when I was in Detroit, Michigan, that says, if I get too high, Lord, please bring me down. You know, because bringing you down is keeping you humble with God. Just because somebody said you're a preacher, and somebody said you're a bishop, somebody said you're an apostle, doesn't necessarily mean that they don't have flesh issues. Am I speaking to anybody? Well, let's take it back over to Romans 5 and 17. Paul begins to deal about his problem. Am I speaking to somebody? You know, Moses dealt with his problem. David couldn't build a temple because he had too much blood on his hands. So he had to come through his son. Am I speaking to anybody? Don't ever think that even when you go through problems in your life, that God is not going to take his hands off you. He's just going to continue to want you to be corrected. And that's why when she spoke about that five and that Matthew 5 and 4, God wants you to be so intimate that you could tell him all your problems. Now, you got to be careful about when you're talking to other people in the church about your intimacy things. Am I speaking to anybody? The Bible does declare that you confess your sins to everybody. But sometimes you got to understand, you got to keep your mouth and you got to talk to God. Lord, I want you, I ain't got no money in my pocket. You know, I don't want to ask nobody in church because I don't want nobody talking about me. Am I speaking to anybody? But you got to learn how to pray. Don't set up on the phone like you don't know what I'm talking about up in here. Because on this line, you're going to get the truth at the harvest house. Ain't no toy, ain't no big shots up over here. The Bible says, according to Romans 3 and 23, everybody has fallen short. Everybody got something that they're dealing with. Now, it don't give me a license of sin. It don't give you a license of sin. But by the grace of God, if I can just get on a prostrate position and begin to believe God that whatever is in my life, that he can clean me up. And I'm not ashamed of anything. The Bible says I won't be ashamed of the gospel. And I got to believe that God has designed and engineered me to be something far more greater than I can imagine and even understand. But I don't know where you are right now, whether you were a woman of salvation, a man of salvation, or you dealing with some issues in your life, or whatever it may be. But the line is always open. I got another caller coming up in here. Now, before I get to this salvation part, because I want to bring this out, and then I want to go through the process of praying for individuals and everybody who need prayer. 832, I believe it's 832-651. You're on the air. You hot.
How you doing, Pastor?
I'm doing pretty good, man of God. You on the air?
I was listening to what co-pastor said about staying connected. You know, I want to get on me. I want to get on me as a person right now. I haven't been staying connected like I'm supposed to be. You know what I'm saying? Because right now I'm letting my problems, letting the things I go through attack me right now. You know, it's hard. It's hard, but you know, I'm trying to get through it.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know what I'm saying? I have a problem of what everybody is telling me, of the way I say things, and I'm always angry. You know what I'm saying? Or I got an attitude problem, and I'm always angry. But the things I be looking at is, If y'all go through what I'm going through, y'all probably be angry too.
Yeah, they probably would be, but they'll lie to you about it.
You know what I'm saying? If you was going through what I was going through.
And they're wrong with you being angry, but just don't act on it. But when you get to that point, you got to get strong enough where you can pray on it.
But
you have to be sharpened more. Still in the outward, you got to take it to, you got to call to him. Because everybody has something they deal with, and people still deal with now. I mean, that's another thing.
I listened to you, what you said. You said, how you going to check somebody else? You need to wait. And a lot of people be trying to check you, but they
that's
really
right.
need to check themselves too.
That's
they
right.
really need to check themselves, man, because it really hurts me. It really hurts me when somebody come tell me something about me, and I'm outside of you looking at you, what you doing, but you sitting here looking at what I'm doing, like everything you doing is right. So it's like this. If we both going wrong, how are we going to listen to each other?
Let me speak something on that, because I hear something
before. If everybody is going wrong, how are we going to listen to each other? If everybody is going wrong. You
let
know what I'm saying? If everybody is going wrong, how are we going to listen to each other?
Mm-hmm. Let me say something, Boogie, man of God, because I hear it in your voice. And I know that you're at that place right now, it's something like you're at the tip. But every time you're right at the tip of everything that's going to seem like the weight, and it just take a little bit to tip you over. But I'm telling you, man of God, this is when God began to work his greatest miracles. So you're in a perfect place for a miracle. See, if you ain't got nothing going in your life, then you don't need no miracle. Is anybody here? Am I speaking to anybody? See, if you're perfect in the Lord, then you don't need no miracle. But see, even when you look at the Syrophoenician woman, the situation she was going through, the things that she had dealt with, the woman was around on the earth. Even if we got to talk about the man who had the son, when Jesus came up the mountain to transfigure, that brother probably dealt with all that he can deal with. He probably did that thing by whooping him and tearing his house up. And he didn't know what he needed to do. But one thing he done, he cried out to the right person. And when you cry out to the right person, and then you know you got peace with God to the point that it surpasses all understanding. And then when people go to point their finger to you, it's just like it'd be a bypass in the wind. Now, I mean, you can go, well, you're pointing that like, we want to pray? We can pray, but I don't need you putting me down. Let's just come together. Let's all pray, because we all got issues we're dealing with. We all got things we're coming short on. But we all want to come to the point that we've got to learn how to control the environment we're in. Now let me say this. Now, I want you to say this. This is why you can't be what they call the thing when my wife takes the temperature. You can't be a thermometer. See, a thermometer registers when it want to register when you put it under your tongue. But when you are a thermostat, you get to control the heat. And you can't let nobody pull your thermostat. If you set it low, then you got to keep it low. But if that thing going to fly off the handle with you, I'll tell you, that thing, the mercury in it, it says dangerous poison. You can't let the mercury come up out of you. But just when you're at the end of your situation, and it don't seem like nobody's there, and nobody cares, and it don't seem like nothing is going on, the Bible says if you ring his ears. Like I said, you got to call on God like you got a hearing aid. And I'll give you God, I'll hear your prayers. And if you could control the frustration, it ain't going to be easy. Because everybody got sin. The Bible says, you know, that's a nature that we got. It's okay to sin, but don't follow up on what that sin is. Meaning that if I'm angry at somebody, don't let it come out of me. But let your walk be known what you're called to be. And sometimes, man of God, I'm saying, it's hard. When you got a brother, and they say like you're a pretty young brother at your age or where you are and the life you in, that when you a man get at a crossroad in his life, it's hard. Especially when he's teeing off some stuff. That's why we have the man groups, we talk with men. And that's why my wife get with the women groups, they talk with women. Because some people need to let some stuff out. Instead of going to church with your mouth all folded up, and then the next person next to you, you all got your mouth balled up because you don't want to talk to them, because you had to release that pressure. When you don't take the cap off a Coke after shaking, that thing will blow. And sometimes you got to know how to release that pressure. And you got to be able to consult and talk with people on a daily basis. Because that stuff will build up on you, and then I'm telling all hell will break loose. And that's why you got to have somebody in your corner to talk with you. And even when the person's talking to you, you got to have something that somebody can control. You got to control that thermostat. You just don't say, don't be no thermometer, but you be the thermostat that know I'm going to put it 60, 70. And if I can heat it up with him, I can still heat it up with him without him getting angry at me because he know who I am. Because iron sharpens iron. You got to know how to level things out with one another. And some people just don't know how to do that in the ministry or in their life, even sometimes it's been husband and wife. Because what you got to do is come together and you got to learn how to console the very things that's alienating you and causing those wounds that continue to be affected. As I heard the woman of God say before, if you allow little things to come in, then that thing becomes to be, it get infected. And when it gets infected, it starts pussing over. I mean, it's trying to push out something that ain't supposed to be in it. That's how the Word of God is. The Word of God says, now you infected and you need to get that stuff out of you. But when you push it out of you, it come out the wrong way. No, it's not designed to be in you, but when it come out of you, come out the wrong way. And that's why you got to know how to treat it. You got to have your peroxide around. I'm talking about a water peroxide, alcohol, somebody got a Band-Aid that you can let loose
when you need to talk to somebody about something that's going to don't let that thing get you up in the room. Don't let that thing clog you up. Don't let that thing mess you up like that. No, you get somebody to release that thing, and you believe in God in Jesus' name. If don't nobody else believe in him, then you believe him. Man, I'm going to talk to God about it. You know, I'm angry about something. I'm mad about some stuff, and I don't feel good, and I'm coming out. I'm going to go in my room and talk to God about it. And just like you're talking to me, you stand right there in your room and let your frustration move. You talk to God about it. Don't you let nobody see you talking, because the first thing they see you, they're going to talk about it. I thought you said you were saved. I thought you said you was a man of God. People are so quick to point their finger at you. But you got to know how to stand still and watch the power and the salvation of God. Okay, am I helping you anywhere? Am I helping you anywhere, young man? Am I helping you anywhere? Are you still up in here?
Yes, sir.
You know, I want to know, because I'm telling you that if people say that they got it all together, no. Don't come to me with that. Because you, just like it says in Galatians, you got flesh issues on you, too. I dare anybody on this line that when you go to the book of Galatians, see, you got some uppity people. You got some bougie people in the house of God sometimes. And they act like they can't do no wrong. But the word of God says, according to Galatians 5, and I think we probably read this so many times because there's so much relevancy to it. The Bible declares and decrees that when you look over in the process of Galatians 5, so he said everybody got some envy. Everybody got some, and murder ain't got to be just a physical thing. You can murder people with your tongue. Everybody got some drunkenness. Sometimes their speech will come out, is the desire to come out. Revel, you got rage in you. All this stuff that's in this world right here, everybody got something in them. Some people got all kinds of stuff in them. Go ahead,
Manny. It's saying about, see, that's one thing I haven't been doing. I haven't been reading my Bible. But you know what? I take responsibility, and I take responsibility and full responsibility for my actions all the time. All the time. I'm going to always do that. I'm going to always do it. Until I die, I'm going to take full responsibility of what I'm doing, all my actions, or whatever. But you know what? One other thing I say, ain't no sin bigger than the next sin.
You better believe it. It's S-I-N. It's all the same.
Ain't no sin bigger than the next sin. So if I got a bad attitude, and if it is a sin that I got a bad attitude, you know what I'm saying? It ain't no bigger than the dude that went out here and murdered somebody.
My God. Yeah, drunkenness, you know, revelry, anger.
All that sin is not bigger than the person that's out here drinking every day.
Amen. I hear what you're saying.
So, you know what I'm saying?
Amen.
I get tired of people putting drinking on me. I'm 31 years old. I've been getting ejected put on me since I was young.
Well, man of God, you know what? I can hear it in your voice. But what we're going to do, we want to bring it, we want to touch it down a little bit. And I hear what you're saying. I can hear something in you. But I'm telling you, don't let that stuff get you to the point that you have a relationship problem with Christ, because he ain't ever done nothing to you. And what you got to do is ask him for your GPS and how to guide you through what you're going through. Because sometimes just talking to people, it don't build more anger. It builds more frustration. But we're about 8 minutes into this segment. We're about 8 minutes on this segment, and I want to get to the point of going to our salvation. But as you finish, I want to have co-pastor to be able to add on to that. And then we're going to go ahead and not. But I'm going to give you my number. You know, I know you probably. I think you had to have me. It's who I think I'm talking to. Kroger's, right?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. We're going to leave it right there, and I want you to call me when I get off of here. But for the sake of time, I want to have co-pastor to add in on what you were saying, because, you know, it got to have both sides of what's been going on here, because I see it. I feel it right there where you are. I know where you're at. Co-pastor? I bet she may be having some pop with her phone.
Okay. I'm sorry. I had my headset on. I'm so sorry. No, following Christ is not always easy. There's so many things that come after you. There's so, you know, the enemy wants to constantly divert you away from the power of God. And there's always circumstances that are going to come in our life, and there's always going to be some ups and downs. But that's the point. That's actually good. I know that sounds a little strange, but that's actually good because it puts us to the point where we get closer to the Lord, whereas exactly where he wants you to be. He wants you to continue to come to him over and over again. And what's great about it is that the Lord gives you guidance of how to handle everything in your life. He gives you specific things to do, but if we don't stay plugged in, we don't get those instructions. And those are daily instructions that he gives us. He shows us exactly how to live, and the more that you stay plugged in, that's where the power source is. The power source comes from the Lord, and it takes over how we feel, and it takes over as time goes on. You see how the Lord starts to take some things from you, those negative things that we have within us. And we can't get those things unless we continue to stay plugged into that power source. So I just want to encourage each one of us that when we're feeling that, just use that as an opportunity to get closer to the Lord. It's like a reminder that, you know what, get to where the source is. Get to where the power is. It's not in us. It's not never in us. It's through, we're just vessels. We have to remember that. We're just God's vessels. And in order to work that vessel, we have to stay plugged up. So my thing today, you know, my words to each one of us is to keep plugged in. Amen?
Well, that's a word right there. But that even as, you know, we come down to the point of this closing, because we really over our time, but it was well worth over our time. But I want to give this word a salvation. I mean, I don't know where you are. I don't know who you are, what you're going through. But you know what? It's not that it don't matter to me, because the word of God reigns. I mean, it penetrates. And when you hear this word, when I'm speaking this word, it may touch you to the point that you will really understand the Lord. Look, you know, I really do need to recommit my life, and I need to do it right. I really need to understand that what you called me to do and what you had designed me to be ain't really taking place. I want to be closer to you. I want to do more for you. I want to do more in the area of what you designed and engineered me to be. But it don't seem like things are moving the way I think it should. You know, I want to be with you to the point that when it comes time for me and you call me home, I want to get my pass. I want to get up in there. I'm tired of playing church. I'm tired of just going to looking at some people and they set up in the world like they got rigor mortis in their body. Nobody moving, no power of the spirit moving nowhere. You know, and that's something about, you know, certain houses. You go up in there and they set up there and just clap like some mummies. You know, that bougie clap. And I don't really deal with a lot of bougie crowds. You know, I like people who are going to flow in the power of God. We're going to have the realness about it. You got to have a zoot suit on when you come up in the house of God. When we over there, I don't know anybody else, but you got to have it up in the harvest house. You know, you come, look, as the word of God said, you come as you are. And whether there's two or three gathered in the midst, I declare by the word of God, the power will move. But I wanted you to hear this power prayer. This salvation call. And the word of God says it like this: Heavenly Father, anybody who want to repeat can, Heavenly Father, in the name of Jesus, I repent of my sins. You know, I let you into my heart to come inside of me. Now, those who say greater than he that's in you, the healing word, I want you to come inside of me. Because when Jesus come in you, sin has got to get out of you. In other words, when death walks in, when Christ walks in, death has got to walk out. They can't stay in two places. The Bible says when God is there, contrary. So somebody's got to give up their space. And he says, Jesus, you are my Lord and my Savior. He says, I believe, like the man in Mark 9 told, you got to believe that you died for my sins, every one of them. I don't care what it is, hidden sins, open sins, whatever kind of sins. And you were raised from the dead is an indication to believe that to the highest degree, that the agape love that God gave you surpasses every man, every understanding. He says, fill me with what? Your Holy Spirit. That's the point right there, the Holy Ghost. I mean, you got to have some fire up in this thing. Because I said earlier, you can go down a sinner and come up a sinner. Then you can go down a dry sinner and come up a wet sinner. You got to understand that the assembly,
Thank you, Father, for saving me in Jesus' name. Now, when you understand that word, you don't direct people to the owls in the church. You would direct them to Christ. And when they get directed to Christ, they'll understand that in their life, they're designed to go out and gather others into the house of God. This is not no show. Church became more like a game now. It's just a place that we come together to gather. But you got to stop being enslaved in your mind and understand that God has called you to do more than imagine to think of. Father God, in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, I declare by the word of God, even for sake of time, that every person that's on this line, I decree a plan according to this. I loose every form and every fashion of the enemy right now in the name of Jesus. I speak a word according to the spirit, and I call the blood to fall on them from the crown of their heads and the soles of their feet. Every unbalanced thing, Father God, I'm asking you to equalize it above the playing field. I decree a word according to the power. I decree a word according to the spirit, that even as we speak about the weapons of our warfare, not carnal, but mighty through God to pull down every stronghold in the name of Jesus. I come to every fleshly disease, whether it be heart, Father God, whether it be back problem, whether it be kidney disease, whether it be paralyzation of the muscles, Father God, every form of cancer in the name of God, not every source of every negative problem in every one of these men of God lies on his phone. And Father God, I declare there to be peace that will surpass everything in the name of Jesus. Lord, I speak this word out of myself, but through the power of the Most High God, I decree it, I declare it, I call it to come forth right now in the mighty name of Jesus. I put it into the third heaven that it's got to go forth. I know it will not come back void, but it will have the power to penetrate all that therein. Father God, even when they lay down on their knees to God tonight, let them call on you, Father God, in the midst of their situation, that you may deliver them for whatever it may be, Father God. I thank you, Father God, for this broadcast. I thank you for the participants on this line tonight, that they be free from everything in their life according to the Spirit, that you loose it, Father God. Give them prophetic dreams, prophetic understanding, prophetic wisdom, prophetic knowledge, that they may know that through you, God, that everything and all things are possible. These things I'm asking not of myself, but through the power of the Most High God, in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. I thank each and every one of you for calling and being on the show tonight. I am Pastor Charles Ellis here at Harvest New Life Church here in the city of Dallas, and you have been listening to the Power of the Harvest radio station. God bless each and every one of you. Until next Thursday, we'll see you and hope we'll be with you all together then. God bless you and God keep you.
I'm going to feel the victory of God in here today. Tell God, I received my victory. I receive deliverance. I receive my help. I receive strength. I'm taking off like a 757. I got to tell this story before I quit. I watched the news yesterday. And you know, for the last 2 or 3 days, it's been bad weather all up in the north. Tornadoes everywhere. But I saw a little news clip. This little woman, I think it was in Kentucky, a giant tornado was right out almost in her front yard. You could see it in the distance, and it was coming right at her. Somebody had the video camera on, and that little woman was out there. Don't tell me what God can do for you. That tornado was eating up everything in its sight, tearing up houses and buildings and stores and throwing school buses around like matchsticks. You can see her on that little video. She put her hand out there and said, "Tornado, get away from here in the name of Jesus. You got to get away from my house. Get away from my property." Can I tell you what Sister Gail began to do? She prayed a while in English. Then she said, "Don't tell me what God can't do to get his word out. Everybody watch CNN. They don't know nothing about the Holy Ghost. But they got this little woman on there speaking to a tornado in the name of Jesus. See, the weatherman couldn't do it. The meteorologist couldn't do it. The politician couldn't do it. But one little woman stood her ground and said, in the name, God, I know you got power. A tornado got power. My God got no power. Oh, in the name of Jesus. Can I tell you what happened? That thing got to running. That thing got to getting out of here. Not one board on her house was broken. Not one thing in her yard was touched. And everybody around the world, look it up on YouTube. Look it up on CME. Baby, talk to that thing in Jesus' name. Talk to God in the Holy Ghost. That's why you need to be full of the Spirit. In Jesus' name. That tornado didn't know what she was saying, but God in heaven knew what she said. God put his arms out and protect her. Just like when the wind came against the disciples, he commanded, say, peace, be still. Wind, shut your mouth. Get away from that believer. He will. If he did it for her, God will do it for you. If he do it for my children, God will do it for your children. If God bless you, he'll bless everybody up in here. Somebody say, God, you are healer. God, you are deliverer. I'm not leaving here until I get blessed. I'm not going to stop until the power, fire, fire, until the power loose up in here. Somebody say, Lord, deliver me. Lord, deliver me. Not just from me. Deliver me from my enemies. Deliver me from the trick of the devil. Clap your hands, everybody.